So we're going to talk today about what happens when you don't believe the truth. And I look around here and I believe I'm looking at a lot of folks that believe the truth. But we have to understand the dangers of this, not believing the truth. And the fact is, in a Bible-believing church, you can get so accustomed to hearing preaching about believing the words of God that you take for granted that you do, when in fact you may just be going through the motions like we do sometimes when we sing out of the hymn book. You've sung the same song so many times, you don't think about the words. We were singing at Calvary this morning, and I can't even tell you, somewhere just shy of 1,000,000 times I've sung that song. Feels that way, doesn't it, Irene? And I just really paid careful attention to those words today, and I mean it, those are fabulous words in that song. And God wants us to pay very careful attention to these words, believe these words, and live by them, because there's some severe dangers if we don't. But we want to talk about that today. But before we go any further, we're going to pray. Doyle, you know the preachers were praying for us, so you pray for us, please. Amen. Amen. There's not a Sunday that goes by that you don't hear some mention of reading, studying, or believing the words of God. That's what you do when you're in a Bible-believing church. And so, as I said, you could hear this so much until you become callous to the words of God if you're not careful. And that's particularly true of young people who obey because they have to and not necessarily because they want to. And so sometimes this stuff doesn't sink in. And so it's easy to become complacent in your faith because you're around the preaching of God so much and the words of God so much. You take for granted that you believe the words of God because you know about them. You know about the stories and things like that. Well, it's essential that we always believe and always live by what God said. That's absolutely essential to our Christian life. Because there are really bad things that happen when you don't believe the words of God. There are things, honestly, that God will do. There are things that the devil will do in the minds and in the hearts of people that don't believe the words of God. And you wouldn't expect that God would do something contrary, but He will. You would expect that the devil would do something contrary, but you wouldn't expect that God would do something contrary. And so we want to look at these things today and see how important it is for us to believe the truth. Because first of all, when you don't believe the truth, the devil can blind your mind. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 are directed to people who are lost. But it's important for us to understand what's going on here. If you have a lost relative, you have a lost friend, a lost coworker, and you've been talking to them a little bit about the things of the Lord, if they don't believe these words, you think, well, I'm just going to keep chipping away at this, and you should, and they'll eventually come around. But there may be something going on in their lives and in their minds that you don't see. When you read these two verses of Scripture, you may find out one reason why they're having such a difficult time accepting the gospel and accepting Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 said, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world," that's the devil, small g, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So you're there preaching and you're thinking, this makes so much sense. I'm happy. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I have assurance of my salvation. It's all in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You preach this. You testify of this to your friends. And you're thinking, can't you see this? You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's the best thing in the world. And they just blow you off like a bad habit. And you're thinking, what is this all about? Well, sometimes they really do need time to digest. You know, oftentimes when we're talking to somebody about the Lord, and this may be one of the first times they've ever heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't press for a decision. They've never heard this before. You want them to fully understand the gospel, and so you give time for the seed of the Word of God to germinate. Okay, so I got that. But sometimes you're like, man, I've been talking to this person time and time again, and nothing changes. What you may not realize and may just have seen is our adversary is at work here. And because they have refused to believe the Word of God, He has actually blinded their mind, and it doesn't make any difference if you make it crystal clear, if you say it sweetly or you say it meanly, if you paint it out in a picture and draw it in an illustration. They won't get it because they refuse to believe it. Now, if they ever change their mind about that and make a decision that they want to believe the words of truth, things will change. But man, I'm telling you what they've done to themselves by refusing to believe it when they first heard it is they've already built up a problem. Not only do they have to deal with their own heart of unbelief, but they now have to deal with the blindness that the devil has put in their minds. And some people just can't overcome that. Believing the words of truth, that's just essential. You know, I gave a Bible to a relative of mine many years ago. Very nice Bible, has name written on it and everything like that. You know, as a Christmas present, and he actually began to read it. Read through the first 10 chapters, and then he called me. He said, "You don't really believe that stuff, do you?" I said, "Absolutely, with all my heart. Best explanation of how we got here. Best explanation of the origin of the nations that any man has ever given. And besides that, it's true." He said, "I just can't believe that." Now, when you get there, what you don't realize is then if the devil gets involved in that, there's an additional blindness of the mind. Woo! Gonna sure be hard to get saved. And it was all because of a choice not to believe the words of God. All right, now notice this. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Israel, as a nation, is God's chosen people. Israel, as a nation, when they were in Egypt, God said to Pharaoh, had Moses say to Pharaoh, "Israel is my firstborn son." And so as a nation, Israel is God's child. Now, let's make this distinction between the incomplete nation of Israel, God's child, and individual Jews who happen to be part of the nation of Israel. Even until this day, individual Jews are getting saved. Paul was a Jew, he got saved. Peter is a Jew, he got saved, and so forth and so on. But as a nation, God made a covenant with the nation through Abraham that he was going to give them the land, that he was going to give them a seed. Isaac was born, and then after that, Jacob and Esau were born, and he passed this down through Jacob and down to the 12 tribes. He said, "I'm going to give you land, I'm going to give you peace, blah, 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 blah," all this. And he made a covenant with them in Jeremiah chapter 31, "I'm going to save all of Israel." And in Romans chapter 11, Paul repeats that covenant and says that after this fullness of the times of the Gentiles be come in, all Israel shall be saved. That's national. That's national. Not individual. Individual, he says, blindness in part has happened to Israel. Blindness in part has happened to Israel as a nation. But individually, there are still Jews that get saved. Watch this. To the nation, Jesus Christ comes in Matthew. And he says, "I've not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He is coming for that nation. He is coming as the King of the Jews. By Matthew chapter 13, they have already turned him down as their Messiah nationally. And so he preaches a bunch of parables in Matthew chapter 13 concerning the kingdom of heaven. And his disciples said, "Why do you preach to them in parables? They can't get this." And he says in verse 12, or verse 11, he said, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. This prophecy comes from Isaiah chapter 6. Remember when he says, here am I, send me, and then he goes to the nation and blinds them. Isaiah 6, 9 to 13. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, watch it, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So there's a great difference there. You know what God can do? The devil can blind the minds of those that don't believe. You know what God can do? God can conceal His truth. If you don't want to believe what He said, He can conceal His truth from you where you look at this and you can't make hide nor hair of it. Head or tails, you don't know which way you are in the thing. What He did to Israel in Matthew chapter 13 is He just shut their eyes. He just closed their ears, and so He's standing there, God manifest in the flesh, preaching to them. They can't get it. They can't see it. They can't understand it. They can't perceive it. They hear it, and they don't even know what they're listening to. They're looking at God manifest in the flesh. Turn to John chapter 1. They're looking at God manifest in the flesh, and they don't even recognize it. Now, Nicodemus recognized in John chapter 3, Nicodemus shows up and said, we know you're a teacher sent from God because nobody can do the miracles that you do if he's not from God. The blind man in John chapter 9 that got healed, he said, whether he's a sinner or not, the Pharisee said he was born a sinner. He said, whether a sinner or not, I don't know. But it's never been done before that a man born blind was given sight to see. This guy has to be from God. But the rest of the nation didn't get it. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We saw it. John wrote his epistle. He said, I've touched Him, I've handled Him, I've seen Him, I heard Him. That's eternal life. They didn't get it. You say, how could they possibly miss that? God shut their eyes and closed their ears. And why did He do that? Because they didn't believe Him. Well, that's a dangerous thing. You know, you're not going to believe unless God reveals it to you. For by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. You decide you want to shut Him out, He just closes you down. In John chapter 12, look at verse 45. He tells the people that He's preaching to. He says in John chapter 12, verse 45, he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. You want to see the Father? Look at me. John chapter 14, verse 9, he tells Philip. Philip said, show us the Father in verse 8, and it sufficeth us. In verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, if I have been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You guys, can't you get this? You see the thing? It's just what happened is to Israel as a nation, He shut them out. As a nation. Because there is going to be a time of their conversion. You know what He's allowed? He's allowed during this time of their blindness as a nation, He opened the gospel to us. I'm thankful for that, but I want to tell you something. I don't want to get to a place where I quit believing what He said and have Him shut me out. And you know what you're getting now? You're getting the vast majority of preachers in the United States don't believe this book. And when they preach, they're not giving you anything they got from God. They're giving you just stuff they dug out of there on their own. And you can tell it by the ignorance. Look in John chapter 9. After He healed that blind man that was born blind from his birth, that blind man and Jesus Christ met with each other. And in verse 35, Jesus Christ, at the end of verse 35, He says to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is He, Lord, that I might believe on Him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen Him, now you can see, and it is He that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. It wasn't hard for him. And he worshiped Him. But watch this. Look at verse 39. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see, watch it, might be made blind. Who does that? God does that. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Yowie zowie, man. You don't want to be in that shape. So the devil blinds the minds of those that don't believe so they don't get saved. And here this these are folks that God wants to deal with, wants to save, the nation of Israel, and he just conceals the truth, and they can't get it. I honestly believe proud Bible preachers and proud Bible professors who go to this Bible looking through the Greek geeks in the Hebrews, for a deeper understanding of the words of God, God just shuts them out. He doesn't reveal anything to them. They are limited by their own pride and scholarship to their own ignorance. Jesus said about the Pharisees like that, he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast not revealed this unto the wise and prudent, but unto babes. Here's another thing. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous to not believe these words. And I mean simply by faith, in humility, not passing judgment on the words of God, but letting the words of God pass judgment on you. Ezekiel chapter 14. In verse 3, the Lord has an indictment against Israel, and he says, Son of man, Ezekiel 14:3, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Now, idolatry is a sin. It's failure to believe the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And they did it. All right? So they have these idols, and they're in their hearts. Now, look down here at verse 7. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now watch this. Look at verse 9. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, hath deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. Whoa. The prophet goes and says, okay, Lord, I'm going to inquire of you. This guy has come to get an answer. And the Lord says, tell him this. And the thing he tells him to tell him is a lie. And he says, I'm going to use that to destroy the prophet. I've deceived the prophet. God did it. I deceived the prophet. He deceives the prophet, and the prophet therefore deceives the person who comes for an answer, because the person who comes for an answer is not really looking for an answer from God. He's looking for an answer according to the idols of his heart. It's the same kind of deal when people put their supposed knowledge of Greek and Hebrew above the revelation and inspiration of the Spirit of God. God says, I'll answer them according to the idols of their heart. And they write stuff out and preach stuff as if they got it from God. I believe they did, and what God gave them was a deception. That's something else. That's something else. That's spooky. Look at 1 Kings chapter 22. When I say it's spooky, it's not spooky if you believe these words, but I'm telling you, if you're here today and you have a casual attitude toward the words of God, which a lot of young people do, and I'm not singling you out if you're young here today, but humble yourself before the words of God. Get into this book. Believe what it says and follow what it says. In 1 Kings chapter 22, Ahab is getting ready to go to war in Ramoth Gilead. He wants that land back. And so what happens is all his prophets are hanging around with a big pep rally. Go to Ramoth Gilead and you shall recover all. Big pep rally. Jehoshaphat is with him. Jehoshaphat's the king of Judah. Jehoshaphat says, something not right here. I'm not hearing the voice of God in their prophesying. You got anybody around here that can prophesy for God? He said, yeah, there's a guy here named Micaiah, but I hate him because he never says anything good about me. There's a reason for that, Ahab. Ain't nothing good to say. He said, well, go get him. And Ahab comes. And he gives him the prophecy. He says, I've seen all Israel scattered as sheep having no shepherd. Meaning, Ahab, you're going to die. Sucker. And Ahab said, see, Jehoshaphat, I told you. Well, all these prophets are going around saying, Micaiah, how is it there are 400 of us and we're telling him this thing and there's one of you and you're saying this other thing? How's that happen? How is it that you think you got it right and we all got it wrong? And Ahab explains it to him in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 20. Verse 19, for the context, here's what Micaiah says. He said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, I'll persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I'll go forth, and I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth and do so. And so do. You know what he's, you know, this is a spirit that came from God and got in those prophets. And so they are prophesying exactly what God wants them to prophesy, and it's a lying spirit. It's more than just the man in the pulpit lying. It is God lying by a spirit through the man standing in the pulpit. Wow. In other words, God can lie to you through a preacher when you have made up your mind that you don't want to believe what this book says. And you know something, so we talk about there are preachers around the country and they're lying about this and they're lying about that. And people say, you know, there's all kind of craziness on the internet and these guys are lying about that and they really believe what they're getting is so. I believe according to this, some of those guys are really getting something from a spirit they think is coming from God, and rightly so they are, and they're out there preaching it. God said this, and it's a lie. Why? Because the people don't believe what the book says. That's spooky. I say, you know what? I don't want to be one of those guys. I just want to drop on my face before God and say, I'm too stupid to get this. Would you tell me what's in here so I can go tell them what they came to hear? And let's none of us play this game. We're not smart enough for this stuff. The Holy Spirit is. I like the saying, people say, God said it, that settles it. That's true. And I like the other saying that says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. The fact that I believe it doesn't settle it, but I'm going to be settled on what God said. That's where we need to be. You say, well, I don't like what he said. That's fine. He didn't ask you to like it. He just asked you to believe it. And that's really good. So the devil can blind your mind. God can conceal his truth from you. God can lie to you through a preacher. Watch this. You think it's bad enough. Look at this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You say, why would God do a thing like that? Because you've made a choice not to believe what he said. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, the context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is clearly the tribulation, so we're not going to extrapolate much from the doctrinal context. We won't read the whole thing, but this all has to do with the man of sin and the son of perdition and, you know, the wicked mystery of iniquity and all that stuff. Now, watch what happens. Verse 9, this is the Antichrist, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. In other words, he will be able to do everything that God manifests that he can do here, but all of it's going to be a lie. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, watch it, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, watch it, the devil shall send them strong delusion and they shall believe a lie. Is that what it said? That's not what it said. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Why did God send them strong delusion, according to verse 12? Because they believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I see that going on today. The perilous times are here. Men should be lovers of their own selves. That passage ends, men should be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I see that now. That's robbing the life of the church. There are young people and older people being drawn away because of their love for pleasures more than lovers of God. Verse 12 says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. And who sends them the strong delusion in verse 11? God shall send them strong delusion. You see, the trouble starts when you refuse to believe what God said, when you refuse to live by what He said. Then the Lord gives them something false to believe, and that false, that delusion is propagated as true, and people follow it. You see what I'm reading here, right? I mean, we're not reading the same thing? It's shocking. It's shocking that God would do something like that. And it only emphasizes once again how absolutely vital it is that we believe what He said and live by what He said. You know, when two people are talking, or three people are talking, and one person asks two people to give an explanation about something, and one guy says something and it's so good that there's nothing else that needs to be said. And then the person said, well, what do you think about it? Said, what he said. What he said. That's the way we should be about this Bible. Somebody says, what do you think about that? What he said. My opinion doesn't count, but what he said. That's what makes a difference. Why? Because you're not going to fall into delusion. You're not going to be deceived. The truth is not going to be concealed from you when you believe what he said. Now, when you don't believe the truth, the devil can blind your mind and you'll stay lost. God can conceal the truth like He did to the nation of Israel. He can lie to you through a preacher like He did to Ahab. He can send strong delusion like He will to these folks in the tribulation. But for us, for you and me, and I say but for us, we are, you know, we have to pay attention to what we just studied. But you know, for us, when we really do believe and try to live by the words of God, you know what the problem is? Luke chapter 24. It's not that God would step out there to purposely send delusion to us, we believe. Or would lie to us, we believe. Or conceal His truth from us if we really wanted to know what it was, we believe. And or blind us by the devil because we're already saved. But here's what could happen to us. You and I could get to a place like the disciples where we cannot understand what God is doing. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He meets up with two guys on the road to Emmaus. They are telling Jesus Christ that they're frustrated because of verse 21. We trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. Verse 21. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but Him they saw not. We don't know what happened to Him. Oh, where has my little lamb gone? Oh, where can He be? They were so frustrated, they said, the angel said that he's up, and the guys didn't see Him at the sepulchre, and we just don't know what happened to Him. And they were despondent. They should have been cheering, glory to God, the Scriptures are fulfilled, but they weren't. They were despondent. Why? They didn't understand what God was doing. So what did Jesus say in verse 25? Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Look, all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. He said, guys, it's there. If you had just believed what was said by Moses, if you had just believed what was said by the prophets, you'd understand what's going on here. But you don't get it. And the reason they couldn't get it is they were slow of heart to believe. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. You know what happens when we're slow of heart to believe? We can't get it. We don't know what God's doing. Now, God doesn't have to tell you, but if He has revealed something to you in Scripture that helps you to understand what's going on in Christianity, what's going on in your life, He intends for you to understand it by what He's already said, but you cannot get it if you won't believe it. You're clueless to the workings of God, and you don't want to be clueless to the workings of God. Not when He's already recorded for you in the Scripture what He intends for you to understand. He doesn't have to write it in the sky or whisper in your ear when it's already, "Thus saith the Lord." The reason I believe that many Christians today are so uncertain about the things of God, so many spurious philosophies and thoughts about what's getting ready to happen, is they don't believe what He already said. And all He asked you to do was to believe it. The funny thing about it is, when you and I believe what He said, we may not really understand how what we're reading applies to us at the particular time that we read it, but one day down the road you're struggling with something in your life, praying over these matters, and God brings the verse back and you say, "You know what? I have the perspective of God on this." You see, He says to us, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." The trouble comes when we start leaning unto our own understanding instead of trusting in what He said. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge God, and He shall direct thy paths." When you have clarity in the Scripture and understanding of the Scripture because you believe what He said, God will give you Scriptures that line you up with the truth. I mean, here's this path of righteousness, here's this path of truth. You're going along that thing with some, you're looking for clarity from God, and all of a sudden He gives you this and this and this Scripture, and you fall in that path, you say, "I know exactly where I am. And I have enough understanding to know exactly what God's doing. At this point, it all makes perfect sense to me now." People will say sometimes, "Why God? Why God? Why God?" Usually when that's being said, you're looking for a way to argue with God about what's going on in your life so you can say, "But this isn't right, God." And the thing is not why God, but what God. Make sense of this. Bring clarity to me in this. And when He does that, then you know where you are. You know where you are as far as the progress of Bible prophecy. You know where you are with respect to your life. He said, "My word is a light. Thy word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." He wants you to know where you are on that path. But you've got to believe what He said. And people look for answers from every other kind of source than simply what God has already recorded in the Scripture that applies to your life. And that's the danger for us, to chuck this thinking we got to get some other answer. The answers are all here. They're all here. So when you don't believe the truth, you can't understand what God is doing. You're just in a fog. Do you ever drive in a fog? Oh man, your eyeballs just poke out to the windshield, you know, and you're stressed out the whole time. Oh man. I don't like to drive in a fog. I like to drive in clear, bright, beautiful, see everything right here. Right here. All right, when you don't believe the truth, here's the other thing. You will remain lost unless you believe. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I don't know if there's anybody here today that's lost, but if not, you know people that are lost. And here's the problem. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. Now, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, Paul is recounting what happened to the Jews when they were out in the wilderness. He says in Hebrews 3:15, "While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not, So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And chapter 4 goes down all the way when you get to verse 15 to show you that people cannot get to heaven unless they believe. Unless they believe. God kept the Jews that died in the wilderness out of Canaan because of their unbelief. He condemns the lost because they won't believe. Turn to John chapter 3. This is what we need to understand. If you're here today and lost, this is what you need to understand. If you're here today and you're saved and you have friends that are lost, this is what you need to understand about them. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned when? Already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Watch it. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Sitting there on him right now. So you know what the Holy Spirit does according to John chapter 16? The Holy Spirit comes to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. And so that's what, when you're talking to somebody that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, just remember that he is there to reprove the world of unbelief, of sin, because they believe not on me. What? They want him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's John 16, verses 8 and 9, in case you're taking notes. So to keep from being blind, to keep from being deluded, you must believe what God said in the Bible. And to keep from being lost, you must believe Jesus Christ, the Word of God. We'll close with this. Have you ever had a discussion with a religious person who's not saved, but they are trusting on what they do in their religion for their salvation? You know what's blinding them? They're trusting what the religion said, not what the Bible said, and you show them what the Bible said, and they look up at you and say, yeah, but that's your interpretation. It's not my interpretation. It's what the Bible said. And you're believing what whoever your religious person said, and therefore you can't see and understand what God said because you don't believe it. And the Holy Spirit tries to help them to believe it, because once they believe what he said and they believe what he did, then they can trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and be saved and understand. That's fascinating things in the Bible. Well, that concludes our Sunday school lesson. We'll take a break here before we have our preaching service and just digest and meditate on what we've heard. Father, thank you so much today for the beautiful, clear words of God. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us. Help us just to simply believe what you said and live by these words. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.